So we praise God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we carry on with the study and reading of the word of God. You know, when we, it becomes a discipline, and disciplines are things that we do consistently when we are tired, when we are exhausted, when we feel like it shouldn't be. But the reason it's a discipline is because by grace, you depend on God for strength. You know this is what keeps you grounded. This is what renews your strength. This is your source of strength. And, you know, you can have great highs, great lows, but there are things that we call the basics: prayer, the word of God, fellowship. And these are the things that are food to any Christian that will stand the test of time. That means that time will come, time will go, but if you stick to these basics, the prayer, the reading of the word of God, and being part of a fellowship where you commune together with other brothers, then by grace you will find that you will still keep growing, you will still, you know, grow spiritually. It's just like eating. Just because you ate yesterday does not mean you will not eat again today, no matter how much food you ate yesterday. So we must always think of the things of the Spirit like this. And that's why Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there is a living by bread, but it is not alone. We must daily, we must live by the Rhema, by the full counsel of God, by the word of God that comes from him. So today we'll start the book of Colossians, and we'll be in Colossians chapter 1. And the book of Colossians is actually written to Colossae. There's a city that was called Colossae, and this was a city that Paul did not, he is not the one who planted this church. This church was planted by Epaphras. And Paul, you know, uses this letter to tell them about, you know, who Christ is. And it's one of also the deep letters. You would consider it deep because it has so much truth. It's one of the letters that is written also by Paul in his prison days. So Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, these are some of the prison epistles, and they are letters that carry a lot of weight of the word of God. Why? Because Paul wrote them at the place where he has, you know, full comprehension, final understanding of the scriptures, but also he is knowing that he is sending his final words to strengthen the churches and to keep them grounded. Now, he thought he was only writing to the Colossians, but you can see even today we are still reading, we are still understanding, we are still, you know, getting to know the mystery of Christ that was given to Paul, and by which we are able to grow. So let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you had before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and it is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So one of the things that Paul sticks and stands out is he's still returning the comprehension of the word saints. You know that the church are saints and the faithful brethren who are in Colossae, and he greets them, he calls them saints. And that is what we must know as believers. This is what God has made us. We who have believed and trusted in Christ, he has made us saints and the faithful brethren, and he tells them that he always thanks God for them. Paul lived a life of thanksgiving. He will always pray for the churches. He will always thank them. And he says, since I first heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. So that the church in Colossians was seen, one, that they had faith in Christ Jesus, but also they shared their love. They had love for all the saints. And this love was because of the hope that was laid up for them in heaven. And he tells them that which you had in the word of the truth of the gospel. So the gospel came to them and has come to also other people in all the world. And the Bible says, as it is bearing fruit in others, it is also bearing fruit in the church in Colossians, in Colossae. And this is to tell you that the word of God continues to bear fruit. You know, because remember, the word of God is the seed. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11. And the more you partake of the word, and the more you continue to partake of the word, then the word bears fruit. You know, when you think about the word, it's usually in Greek, there are like three words that describe the word of God. One is graphe, which just refers to the writings. Then logos, which is the methodology. It's the methodia. When you understand the logos, then you understand the mind of God. So that's the written word of God is logos, the mind of God. You will understand how God thinks, how God reasons. And anytime you find that you know the word of God more and more, then you can determine how, you know, you can have a mindset of God. That means you will have the wisdom of God. God will give you his impartation of wisdom because you know the word of God. But then the highest level is rhema, which is that is the spoken word of God, or that word of God that God speaks to you from the scriptures that brings you to life. And when you are in the realm of bearing fruit, it is when you will operate from the, not only from the logos, but also from the rhema. So the logos helps you to understand the mindset of God, the thinking pattern of God, because the Bible tells us that we have received the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It also says that the spiritual man does not comprehend the things that are from the natural mind does not control the thing, does not have comprehension of the things that are from the spirit, because the spirit also teaches us in spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and it teaches us the mind of Christ. So there is that mind of God that comes when we understand the word of God. But then when you combine it now with the rhema, where now God tells you, arise, do this, where you start getting clear guidance for your situation, then now you walk into the realm of the bearing fruit. So the word of truth has been bearing fruit. And that this is what Paul recognizes, that this scripture, not just by me, but you can see you learned it from Epaphras. So Epaphras is a faithful minister of Christ. He went, he preached the word of God to you, and you can see he's saying that it is bearing fruit among you. And that is what the word of God does. If you look at a church, you know, I mean, if you look at churches today, there are churches that focus so much on prophesying, you know, it's this prophecy after this prophecy, or others, it's miracle after miracle. But you see where there is the lack of the word of God, then people do not grow. But you can find a church that might not have all those outward manifestations. Not that they will not be there, they will be there. But any place that is taught the word of God, anyone that sits by the word of God, they get to have the mind of Christ. They have to understand the mindset of God, his thinking partners. And beyond that, God starts to speak to them on specific issues of their lives. And the more they obey, the more they bear fruit. So the word will always bear fruit. Always be in a place or in a church where God teaches you the word, teaches you the word. That should be your greatest hunger. That's why the Bible says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk by which you may grow in your salvation. So we crave for the milk of the word of God. We crave for understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You know, the word of God is our light, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is the word of God that will bear much fruit. Remember, Jesus said, I called you And I ordained you to bear fruit, and fruit that will last. If we are going to make fruit in the lives of men, and this is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, all these are a product of the Word. And I can assure you the Word of God bears fruit all over the world. Take any man, take him to any country, as long as this man has the Word of God in them, that Word of God will produce fruit. It will start by speaking to a brother, a sister, you know, let's meet together, let's pray together. And before you know it, you will ask yourself, ah, where have all these children come from? You know, where have they come from? And I came alone. You can think of Abraham. The Bible says, Isaiah 51, you who seek after righteousness, look from the rock from which you are cut. Look to Abraham, your father. You know, I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. So there is always an increase that comes from the Word of God. Anyone that loves the Word of God will increase. This is something that you will see in God. You will see God will do it. And these are the simple, basic truths that keep us grounded and will keep you grounded in your faith. So since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you learned from Epaphras, a dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we had it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son of his love, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now let's look at quite a number of things that are here. So Paul is praying for the church. He's praying for them that since he heard of their faith, he has not stopped to pray for them. And he prays for them that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, this knowledge here is epignosis. And he's praying that God fills them with epignosis. God gives them with epignosis. We say that epignosis is the complete and accurate knowledge of God. That means all things ethical and divine. That means that when you say that you know God, you know his mind, you know his ways, you know his character, you know his nature, but also your life also reflects that attribute of God. Now, epignosis is something that you're given when you receive Christ, but then we progressively get to grow in that epignosis. And this is what he's trying to tell them, that I pray that you may grow, that you may be filled with all the knowledge of his will, that epignosis, that complete and accurate knowledge of God, that you may be filled with it in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Remember, think about what he prays for the Ephesian churches. He says, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. So here is also saying a similar prayer where he prays that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will, knowing the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this is a prayer that we should always pray for ourselves, we should pray for our churches, that God gives us the knowledge of his will, to also to be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the wisdom of God. When God gives you his wisdom, you know what to do. You also understand. You see things in the scripture that others don't just see. That comes from the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And God is able to give you not only wisdom, but also understanding. You know, to get understanding, by all means, get wisdom. Why? Because when you understand the Word of God, when you understand the Scriptures, you understand the mind of God, then you know what is freely given for you. There are things that are freely given, things that you don't need to buy. You don't need to stress yourself. You don't need to cheat men. But when you know things are freely given by God, then you can walk in that truth. And he tells them that, let them be strengthened with all might. Here is dunamis. Let them be strengthened with all dunamis, you know, according to his glorious power, that's his energia, for all patience, with long suffering, with joy. So God will give them the power. That is, remember, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the power of God comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comes with the power, and the power of God flows along his word. One thing I have heard, twice he has spoken, that all power belongs to God. So when God speaks, then you know that his power is accompanying that word. That means when you're praying for someone and you hear they are healed in your spirit, when you hear the word of God speaking to you that, then you know that the power to heal is present. So the word of God is the vehicle by which his power flows. Remember, God says, I'm watching my word to see that it is fulfilled. So he says that let's be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Yes, he knows the churches are continuing to go through persecution. And this is something that happens in that time and also in our time. And he's telling them that God will strengthen them with all patience and long suffering with joy. And they shall give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we are called to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So there's an inheritance of the saints in the light, and God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us. We are conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You know, deliverance in those times, whenever someone, you will say they are delivered, whenever a king will conquer another king, you know, they will arrest everyone, and those that are arrested will be paraded, you know, they'll be paraded as conquests. So the king will come from war, you know, with the train of the slaves that he has conquered. Now, that was true deliverance. Now, we are being told that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and the dominion of darkness and been brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we are now set free completely and completely, and the enemy has been, you know, paraded, he's defeated, and that's why we'll be able to see that everything that was written against you was crucified and it was nailed to the cross. And we must know that in Christ we have redemption. Redemption is being purchased. That means someone has paid the price for us to be free. And then this redemption is through his blood. And through his blood we have the forgiveness of sin. So you have an inheritance in the kingdom of the saints in the light. We are delivered from the power of darkness. We are translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And this is in Christ. So there are blessings that are for us, and I pray that God will give us more insight as we reflect on this. I'll stop here and pray that God will give us more reflection. My brother, any reflections on your heart, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. No any additions from my side.
Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for speaking to us that indeed we can pray that, Lord, you may fill us with all wisdom, with all knowledge, with all spiritual understanding of your will, of your purposes. And this word that has been spoken in Colossians and in all the places of the world, that it continues to bear fruit in our lives, that indeed this fruit shall last. I thank you that, Lord, everyone that partakes of the time, you know, to listen, to grow, that, Lord, you shall fill them with understanding, that it shall not just be another story, but it shall be understanding. We